Accession number 30644, Mrs. Richard Zagorski, Reel 10. Now, you're saying after 6 months at this college in Lundywood, what happened next then?
I got in touch with my cousins, which were they were living at that time in Nottingham. I joined them and started working as an electrician.
Now, had you any experience as an electrician at all, or were you just...
I was good with my hands. I knew quite a bit about physics. And that was the basics, installation, electrical installations. So we were working at that, and after 3 months I was kicked out by Red Electrical Trade Union. That was one of the difficult part of the most difficult time of my
life. Now, why they kicked you out?
Because I was a Pole. Wasn't that good enough? That was good enough. If you were a Pole, you shouldn't be there. You should go home.
So they actually lost you. You had to have a card at the time, a union card, didn't you?
Yes, and they didn't give me a union card because I was a Pole. So I came back to London, and at that time, I got a job on the farm near Cheltenham, owned by Polish government in London. And I was in charge of tractors, power station. We had our own electrical power station. Worked there for 6 or 7 months.
And this is what, 47, 48 or?
47. We are talking seven.
Enjoy it there?
Yes. The problem was that I was working very hard all day, and there always was missing force to play bridge. So at night I had to play bridge with president and generals and God knows what, who were visiting. And I stayed there for about 6 months.
So to into 48?
Yes. And early in 48...
Now, how was your English doing?
By then, better, let's put it this way. I could go to the shop and buy what I wanted, but it was poor. It's lousy now. It's very Slavonic now.
Now, how
after 60 years.
Had you made any progress towards getting or thinking about becoming a British citizen at this time?
Not yet. Too early. Remember, you had to stay for 5 years before becoming a British citizen.
Now, so what happened? You're in this Cheltenham farm. Then what?
Then I came back to London, and through people I knew, I got the job which I always wanted in electronics. Well, in radio, in electronics, let's call it as it's called today. In British Communication Corporation, which was developed during the war, there was Army Radio Workshop with extremely bright electronic engineer Tad Heftman. And he organized, after the war, they organized the company. During the war, they produced radios for communication with underground army. They were used in Poland extensively and as well in French by English. The name of the radio station was called Pipstock, whatever it means, nothing to me. And I joined them as a wireman.
Now, what's a wireman?
The lowest entity in the company. The man who assembles the after a month, I was sent to the electronic lab and decided that I don't know enough it and joined Northampton Polytechnic.
I should have asked, where is British Communication Corporation based?
Stanmore. Gordon Avenue, Stanmore.
Right, so you went to, for more, you said you...
I went to Northampton Polytechnic.
What, night classes or full
night time? Night classes. And work number of years there.
So that's night school, and that was on electronics?
Electronics, postgraduated electronics part one and electronics part two finished.
So degree?
Yes. Degree courses. And was working in the lab during the day. That was difficult days, but already I feel that I'm doing something. I was working on something I loved. No flying, but the next best. And for example, I worked on it. It wasn't my job, but I worked on it. First, what I called it? Portable VHF set for Met Police. Today, it's the size of a cigarette box. At that time, you have to carry a box which weighed about 4 or 5 kilos and had a telephone, no standard telephone like that one, in your hand, but you could, policemen walking could communicate. That was the first. And we produced the first for home office mobile car radios for communication, VHF car communication. My first job, when I was responsible for design of receiver, I designed the receiver for first post-war communication system, which was called SET, never mind system, SET, which was called C-13.
So you designed the receiver?
I designed the receiver on C-13. Friend of mine, Andrew Maciejowski, designed the transmitter.
And this was used by the British Army for what?
For that's HF set for communication. It was basically designed to fit chieftain tank. And there were radio cars as well. It was used. That was first communication for total army communication. It was.
Now that's quite a job.
It was good one. It took us 2 years to design.
Now, what were the design elements you were working on? I mean, what were you trying
for
to
example,
achieve?
We were working under the design authority was SRDE, Signal Research Development Establishment in Christchurch. SRDE. After the first year, SRDE changed their mind and decided that it must be not only AM anode modulation, it must be frequency modulation. That was first. Second, it must be non-nettable. It means that frequency accuracy must be such that you can adjust it on the dial and hit it first time. Before, all the systems before, you have to net. It means commander of the tank squadron was sending and everybody was tuning, all the tanks were tuning to the signal. So you are sending continuous signal for number of minutes before everybody got in touch and reported. And that's the best way to tell enemy where you are, to be triangulated. So our system didn't require netting. It was frequency setting was accurate enough. That was probably the most difficult part. especially because system is fully sealed, its number of valves in it, it heats, and so and the problem is frequency stability, to keep the frequency stability to within was within 200 cycles at 20 million cycles, let's 220 million, let's say. The frequency spectrum was 1.5 to 32 megahertz.
Any other things come up in designing it, the receiver, you know? Or any other principles you were, or features you were asked to incorporate in the design?
Well, to design the system which operates at that frequency stability in the temperature range minus 40 plus 55 plus solar radiation, that's good enough, believe me. Today it's achievable quite easily. At the time we had to build our own components practically, remember. We are talking about mid-50s. That was difficult. And then, for example, I've been using thermionic diodes. I needed 5 of them in very compact space. The envelope of the bulb, even with reduced heater, produced temperatures up to 200 degrees C sealed place. So I decided that. And at that time, Ferranti produced first silicon diodes, which I could use. And on monthly meeting, I will never forget that. On the monthly meeting, I discussed it with SRD, Alec Bakan and John Guest, they were in charge, that if we don't reduce the temperature in that particular place of the set, there is no way we can keep it within specification. And I want to use, I got before and tried and came to conclusion that they are most certainly good enough forward-backward resistance on diodes. They are good enough to be used. And during the meeting, I introduced the problem and told them that I need to use 5 of those ZS20B Ferranti diodes. And SRD representatives, War Ministry, not Defense, War Ministry, LPT branch, RIMI, and so on. And everybody agreed that it's absolutely perfect, and then from administration somebody asked, how much do they cost? I said, £20 each, when thermionic diode was half a crown. We received, after a month, we received a letter from the Minister of War, haven't got a clue who was there at the time, don't remember, permitting us to use the diodes. By the way, it went into production in 60, and at that time that diode, the price of that diode was below 1 shilling. 5 years later I was buying those diodes, better diodes than that, for 0.6 of a penny in quantity.
So you were working in the last 5 years of the 50s on this?
Yes.
Anything else? Because this is really, I know I sometimes don't understand the technicalities of it. Anything else, though, that you had to,
the
any
next
problems?
For example, we were asked by SRD that my next, that was, by the way, the job which I've done before that, C13, was Mars.
Mars?
Mars.
Now, what was that job? Tell me about that.
Multi-channel automatic recording system. That was for RAF. total communication between the tower and incoming planes. Heathrow bought, from what I remember, 17 of them. The system was working for, had to operate for 8 hours at 20 channels, on which one was, there was one time channel, which coded time, exact time. There were three spare channels, two spare channels, and 17 actual operating channels. So if one channel kicked out, automatically the next one went in. If the second one went out, the complete next deck, the next system went into operation. So that was quite.
And when did you get that ready for? So it was 55 or something?
In 56, we were exhibiting in equivalent to. Where is that? Always is air show
in England. Oh, Farnborough.
Farnborough. French equivalent of Farnborough, which is Le Bourget.
So, now, was Mars a success?
At that time, yes. It was used. It went into production, it was used. Haven't got a clue how many were produced, but for a short time, I'm certain it was used. Remember that changes in electronics became so fast I know, for example, that C-13 was used in the army still in 70s, when, as far as I am concerned, it was absolutely obsolete when it went to production in 60. Then the next system which BCC produced was Klansman.
Now, were you working on the Klansman?
No, because after, in 62, I loved BCC very much, but I went on my own. I started my own company.
Now, what was your own, did it have a name, the company? What was your company?
The company at that time was named, I had a partner. His company was LAN Elec, and mine was LAN Electronics. It was in Slough. That's what I started on. And as I knew everybody in British Communications, I've been getting quite a lot of contracts from them. So, von Klansman, I produced the power supply systems for Klansman. For Jaguar, that was in 80s. I stayed in Slough till 70, and came to London and opened my own firm, which is called Kingslow Limited. And then I produced complete production test system for Jaguar, which was frequency skip system. Very, very, very interesting. Fully computerized.
So you were your own. How long did your company last for? When did you leave it or wind it
when
down?
When I went on. When I retired.
Which was
90s. Then I opened a company in Warsaw.
Now, tell me a bit about the Jaguar stuff then. What did you do for the Jaguar thing?
For the Jaguar only production, it was probably the biggest, the deepest secret you can imagine, the technology of Jaguar.
It's a British Army system, is it?
It's a British system which was better than don't remember, American one. They tried to produce it. It was produced by, at that time, by the way, British Communication was taken up by Reichel, it was a large firm. So they became Reichel Communication.
So tell me a bit more about Jaguar.
About Jaguar, I can't tell you much because I don't know much, because I was producing. At that time, I knew quite a bit. For example, that it's frequency skipping. It means changes frequency 200 times per second in semi-random fashion.
And that's to avoid people listening in?
You can't listen in because you can't triangulate it even. You don't know where the frequency is. It changes the frequency continuously.
How does that work?
It's in semi-random fashion. You have certain codes, which, as I said, semi-random. That semi is put into all the receivers at that date, at that hour.
And it worked?
Oh, it worked. It worked quite well. From what I remember, that I didn't have anything to do with actual...
You weren't designing, you were producing.
I wasn't even producing. I produced each set to fulfill the specification. When it's produced, must go through the heat cycle in the chambers, cold cycle, check the frequency. Being checked continuously. Every function is being checked continuously. I produce the system which is doing the checking.
Got you. Sorry,
production test equipment. That's all.
Now, any other big contracts or jobs you were working on that you remember?
Big ones. Hold on. What did we do? I don't remember the name of the firm. I know we produced the power supplies, uninterruptible power supplies for an interruptible system of channel tunnel. But that was for the firm who was doing all the installation, everything. I don't remember. They were somewhere in Wales or something.
So how come they were uninterruptible power supplies? How does that work?
Very simply. Very simply. You've got mains... power system, which charges, I think each one was 37 or 42 ampere hours, 12 volt ampere hours, in my case 24 volt ampere hour batteries, and there is number of them. So when the mains is cut off, the batteries automatically supply the required energy for whatever they needed. But that was relatively easy. And that was I produced that in Poland, in Warsaw.
Now, what about this firm you set up in Poland then? Why set up a firm over there?
Why did I open? I opened the firm in Poland in 81. In 81, when I finished all the government contracts. Because with my security clearance, I had problems with... I didn't go to Poland ever before. That was the first time. I reported to MI6 that I am going, I am opening the firm, and I am going to open the firm which will manufacture electronic equipment for me in Warsaw.
Now, why do that? Because it was still communist at the time.
Yes, but my overhead hour in London was £7. And in Poland was 70 pence. That was the basic reason. Anyway, there was nothing secret about what we were manufacturing.
You were just manufacturing parts?
I were manufacturing, let's say, power systems. Basically power systems. Where there was nothing of which could interfere with... no secrets whatsoever. Simple technology.
Now, can I ask you, when did you become naturalized?
When I were neutralized, as I... it was... when was it? Early 60s. From what I remember, I don't remember, but it must have... No, I was still... It must be 60s because I was still in British Communications. So probably 59, 60.
Was it difficult to get British citizenship?
Well, I can tell you one thing. That when I send all the papers, you had to have two people who guaranteed your... that you are not a spy. One of the directors of BCC and friend of mine, Englishman, Mike Quatermain, they guaranteed me. And the man came and stayed with me. He was a lot worse than you. He stayed all day and pumped me off everything. And not only, I said something and he said, you are wrong. That was that and that in such a way. He knew 10 times more about me than I remembered. He had a big box of paper with absolutely everything about me, from the beginning to the end. Yes, in 80 I had, was it 80? No, 70. In 70 I had a very funny occurrence. I came to Farnborough to see friends, because BCC had a large stand in Farnborough. And sales director asked me, look, I've got a problem. Can you help me, Richard? I said, yes, of course. I've got three Polish engineers here. Do help them. Go with them, because you can easily translate everything. They didn't speak any English whatsoever. So I done that. Next day I invited them here. I was already living here. Invited them here for lunch. Anna took them to... There was market in Wembley every Saturday. So, and if I lent even a quid or two to buy a present. They didn't have any money whatsoever. To buy a present for his wife. They went. Number of months, maybe a year later, I received a telephone call. I'm so and so. I brought you some present from the engineer from Poland, one of those who stayed with me, who was in my place. So I said, fair enough. Fair enough, come see us. He came. Brought me a picture of something by Highlanders from Zakopane, made by them. And then he asked me, could you buy me, as you are running electronic company, could you buy me micro miniature read relays? So I said, I will check if they are not on embargo. Yes, I can buy it for you. Because quite a lot of electronic equipment at that time was you couldn't sell East.
Secrets?
Yes. That was basically American rules. And if you wanted to be on the right side, the law is a law, end of the story. I'm not arguing with law ever. So I bought him. It came after 2 weeks, so I asked him, telephoned him, he came here, give them the read relays, give them an invoice, how you propose to pay it. He took his wallet, which was absolutely that size full of white fibers. Paid for it, fair enough, I don't care how. 2 years passed. I don't remember date. Remember when we kicked practically everybody from Russian embassy in London? Remember what?
I don't remember the date, but we...
But you remember that event.
Yeah.
And then they kicked quite a lot of people from Polish embassy. I had a telephone call which invited me very, very politely to see a gentleman in room 52, Old Admiralty Building.